Welcome back to a special edition of the Dakota Midday Book Club from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and we're live at the 12th Annual South Dakota Festival of Books, broadcasting from the lobby of the Holiday Inn City Center in downtown Sioux Falls. We're talking with just a few of this year's featured authors. And along with being an author, Dan O'Brien is also a wildlife biologist, a falconer, and a buffalo rancher. He's written 6 novels, 4 books of nonfiction. His latest book is nonfiction, Wild Idea, Buffalo and Family in a Difficult Land. It's an account of efforts to raise buffalo with dignity and respect as a sustainable enterprise in the Cheyenne River Valley. It's also a love story of family, friends, and the often harsh landscape of western South Dakota. Dan, welcome to Dakota Midday.
It's good to be here.
Well, you know, after reading this book, or while reading this book and learning of all the efforts to get this operation up and running, I was just wondering how you even found time to write.
You know, people ask me that, and I don't have an answer to that except you just get up earlier every morning. You know,
I suppose for a writer, that's what you always have to do, just make time. There's always an excuse not to write.
Yeah, that's easy. But and you know, there are people that you know, are sort of hold up a goal. You can take Teddy Roosevelt, for instance. I mean, he was president and wrote 4 or 5 books while he was president, you know. So this is nothing compared to the real people, you know.
When did it come across, or when it come to mind that you wanted to write a book about how the Wild Idea Company all got started and how the work that you went through to make it happen?
Well, you know, we have a family out there. We have our daughter and her husband and now a little baby. And we're trying to carve out something a little different out there. And I just thought that everybody should have a exposure to the fact that it is possible to try a different paradigm. You know, doesn't have to be industrial agriculture. And it's not going to be easy, but I think it's worth trying because, as we all know, industrial agriculture is not sustainable. And so I thought people needed to have some kind of a template to look at on that.
No, an important part of this is the relationship of the American bison to this particular land and how important it is to the whole ecosystem.
Exactly. And you know, buffalo, bison, same thing, are really just an icon. I mean, that is the way I got into the story. What we're really interested in is species diversity. We're interested in the grasses and the bugs and the birds and all the things that make up the Great Plains of North America. And buffalo are just a real good way to enter into that, to those questions.
It was, now, in the process of in getting Wild Idea started, you had to move from your ranch in Meade County, which was smaller, because to really make this work, you needed a larger place, and you found it over by the Cheyenne River.
Correct. And as I think everybody knows, and it goes along with the mythology of buffalo, big landscapes is really what it's all about. And the Great Plains is a land of vistas and vision and distance, and buffalo really help get you into that notion right away. And so we had to come to the realization and to admit that our little 1,000 acres was not big enough to have any impact at all. And so we have tried to build a way to get to scale.
And an important aspect of the whole operation, and you write about this in the book, Wild Idea, is the way that you treat the buffalo. You can get buffalo meat, but the way you do it is different than a lot of the other commercial operations.
It is. Early on, when we started raising buffalo, the one thing we decided that we couldn't do was put them in feedlots. We couldn't put them in feedlots, haul them off to an industrial slaughter plant. Didn't think that really was respectful to the buffalo. And everybody said, well, that's the only way you can do it. Well, turns out it's not. You know, we developed a way of harvesting them in the field where they're completely relaxed and we don't get all those stress hormones, et cetera. And instead of just trying to insert buffalo into the model of industrial beef, which is what everybody does, we are trying to find a way to do it differently. And it's something that everybody should know, that if they're eating buffalo, they are almost certainly, 95% of the buffalo are raised in a feedlot, and they'll spend the last at least 100 days of their lives standing in their own waste and eating probably corn, which is, you know, as we all know, this is an economic engine, but it's not something that's sustainable.
And you have, as I mentioned, part of this is treating the buffalo with respect, and there's a Lakota prayer that goes involved with this. They're killed on site, and you have a portable slaughterhouse, I guess you'd say. I mean, it's a very complicated way that you want to make this work, even though it's much more trouble, much more difficult.
It's way harder because there's no infrastructure there. You know, there's no feedlots and there's no transportation system for this. So we had to develop everything. We developed this mobile harvester. We come out in the field. We developed techniques for how to handle the buffalo, how to relate to them in the field, and part of this was driven by the fact that we ranch right against the Pine Ridge Reservation, and you know, our nephews are enrolled in the tribe, and we have a lot of truck with the reservations in South Dakota. We harvest over about half of our buffalo from reservations, and when we go out on the reservation, as everybody in South Dakota knows, it's a different world, and we feel that we've learned a lot from the Lakota people about another way of looking at animals. And it's, you know, the Lakota people really believe that they're related to buffalo. And although I'm a white science guy, when you hang around and do the kind of things we've been doing, pretty soon you kind of start to swing over to that Lakota vision. And we'd like to see other people at least have an idea that is real and that is an alternative.
You're listening to a special edition of the Dakota Midday Book Club, and we're broadcasting live from the Holiday Inn City Center, where one of the locations for the South Dakota Festival of Books. Dan O'Brien is with us. His new book is Wild Idea: Buffalo and Family in a Difficult Land. And an important aspect of this book is, of course, the operation, how this all came together and all that. But would this have been as good a book or as interesting of a story if you didn't have all the personal things? I mean, there's also your relationships with friends, longtime friends. You meet your wife in this book as well. I mean, would this be an interesting thing for people to read if it was just about the philosophy behind and how this all came together, the Wild Idea Buffalo Company?
Well, you know, first of all, I am not a business guy. You know that. We've known each other for a long time. I am about as far from a business person as you can get. But I did become fascinated with the business and how to put things together and how to make them work and how to make it, you know, have some profit in it. Because if there's no profit in it, it's not sustainable. But what is should be as valuable as anything else in an endeavor like that, enterprise like that, is the effect that it has on your family and your friends. I mean, if this is just a sterile relationship with spreadsheets, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean anything. But when it's a relationship with family and friends and all the trials and tribulations that go with that for all of us, then it becomes real, I believe. And so I hope it's interesting to people. And I hope it's a kind of funny once in a while, you know?
Yeah, well, it definitely has a narrative arc. I mean, there's a story that's going on here. And one of the things that, as I read this, I was thinking, if you hadn't met your wife, Jill, none of this would have happened.
I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd be teaching for the Arts Council. That's true.
Another important person in this book, and you featured him in your other books as well, is your friend Ernie. I mean, could this even happen without him, too?
Well, Ernie, and this is a real South Dakota deal, because Ernie has been with me for 35 years. He's been living with me for 35 years, and he's helped me on ranches, and he's the one that keeps a lid on things when I travel. Like today, he's watching the place. Now, he's 73 years old. He's had a stroke, but he's still a very, very vital part of this thing, and I think that, you know, other places have people like this, but this is a Czechoslovakian guy that's never been married. He's an old bachelor. Uh, they they don't make many of these guys anymore. And I'm just so fortunate to have him for a friend and a compadre.
This is a very South Dakota story, at least a very Western South Dakota story.
Indeed, and I sure think it is, and it really has to do, as in the title, you know, people don't really understand how tough it can be out there. And for instance, just about a year ago, you know, we had this big blizzard, mm-hmm. and you know, 36,000 animals died in that, and you know, it didn't make the national news. These are the kinds of things that people face pretty regularly out there, and you know, we have to figure out a way to accept those things in stride, and it's hard.
Do you think this book, to a certain extent, dispels romantic visions that we may have about, oh, it'd be great to be out in Western South Dakota with the buffalo? And
I hope that what it does is the romantic vision, which really is kind of a Hollywood version. You know, I hope we can shift that to the real vision. And there is a lot of romance in it. I mean, every night. Every evening is a show. Every morning when we get up and the sun's coming up, it's a show. It is a gorgeous place to live. The story doesn't always come out happy.
When did you start writing this? I mean, were you in the midst of this when you were writing this, or did everything in the book happen? Well, already happened by the time you started writing this?
Well, you've known me for a long time, and I write all the time, and this came out of, I'm just scratching things down, and pretty soon I looked at it and I said, well, gee, I got to start up a book here, you know. Uh-huh. And so it was just a question then of putting the pieces together and throwing out the stuff that didn't match the narrative arc. Mm-hmm. So,
well, Dan O'Brien, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Dakota Midday. And it's good to talk with you again after, 15 some years?
Long time. So, it's good to see you, Carl.
And we'll talk again more in a future program, too. Dan O'Brien's latest book is Wild Idea, Buffalo and Family in a Difficult Land. He's discussing the book tomorrow afternoon at the Orpheum Theater in Sioux Falls. Tomorrow evening, he's participating in a panel discussion on perspectives of the Dakotas after 125 years. And for a full schedule of events at the South Dakota Festival of Books, you can go online to sdbookfestival.com, sdbookfestival.com. There's a lot going on for readers and writers and more.